grace abounding to the chief of sinners. Or, a brief relation of the exceeding mercy of God in Christ, to his poor servant, John Bunyan. HailAndFire.com. In this my relation of the merciful working of God upon my soul, it will not be amiss, if in the first place, I do in a few words give you a hint of my pedigree, a manner of bringing up, that thereby the goodness and bounty of God towards me, may be the more advanced and magnified before the sons of men. For my descent then, it was, as is well known by many, of a low and inconsiderable generation. My father's house being of that rank that is meanest, and most despised of all the families in the land. Wherefore, I have not here, as others, to boast of noble blood, or of any high-born state, according to the flesh. Though, all things considered, I magnify the heavenly majesty, for that by this door he brought me into the world, to partake of the grace and life that is in Christ by the gospel. But yet, notwithstanding the meanness and inconsiderableness of my parents, it pleased God to put it into their hearts, to put me to school, to learn both to read and write, the which I also attained, according to the rate of other poor men's children, though, to my shame, I confess, I did soon lose that I had learned, even almost utterly, and that long before the Lord did work his gracious work of conversion upon my soul. As for my own natural life, for the time that I was without God in the world, it was, indeed, according to the course of this world and the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. It was my delight to be taken captive by the devil at his will, being filled with all unrighteousness, the which did also so strongly work, and put forth itself, both in my heart and life, and that from a child, that I had but few equals. Especially considering my years, which were tender, being but few both for cursing, swearing, lying, and blaspheming the holy name of God. Yea, so settled and rooted was I in these things, that they became as a second nature to me, the which, as I have also with soberness considered since, did so offend the Lord, that even in my childhood he did scare and affrighten me with fearful dreams, and did terrify me with fearful visions. For often, after I have spent this and the other day in sin, I have in my bed been greatly afflicted, while asleep, with the apprehensions of devils and wicked spirits, who still, as I then thought, labored to draw me away with them, of which I could never be rid. Also I should, at these years, be greatly afflicted and troubled with the thoughts of the fearful torments of hell fire, still fearing, that it would be my lot to be found at last among those devils and hellish fiends, who are there bound down with the chains and bonds of darkness, unto the judgment of the great day. These things, I say, when I was but a child, but 9 or 10 years old, did so distress my soul, that then in the midst of my many sports and childish vanities, amidst my vain companions, I was often much cast down, and afflicted in my mind therewith, yet could I not let go my sins, yea, I was also then so overcome with despair of life and heaven, that I should often wish, either that there had been no hell, or that I had been a devil, supposing they were only tormentors, that if it must needs be, that I went thither, I might be rather a tormentor, than be tormented myself. And while after those terrible dreams did leave me, which also I soon forgot, for my pleasures did quickly cut off the remembrance of them, as if they had never been, wherefore with more greediness, according to the strength of nature, I did still let loose the reins of my lust, and delighted in all transgressions against the law of God, so that until I came to the state of marriage, I was the very ringleader of all the youth that kept me company, in all manner of vice and ungodliness. Yea, such prevalency had the lusts and fruits of the flesh in this poor soul of mine, that had not a miracle of precious grace prevented, I had not only perished by the stroke of eternal justice, but had also laid myself open, even to the stroke of those laws which bring some to disgrace and open shame before the face of the world. In these days the thoughts of religion were very grievous to me. I could neither endure it myself, nor that any other should. So that when I have seen some read in those books that concerned Christian piety, it would be as it were prison to me. Then I said unto God, Depart from me, for I desire not the knowledge of thy ways. I was now void of all good consideration, heaven and hell were both out of sight and mind. And as for saving and damning, they were least in my thoughts. O Lord, thou knowest my life, and my ways were not hid from thee. But this I well remember, that though I could myself sin with the greatest delight and ease, and also take pleasure in the vileness of my companions, yet, even then, if I had at any time seen wicked things, by those who professed goodness, it would make my spirit tremble. As once above all the rest, when I was in the height of vanity, yet hearing one to swear, that was reckoned for a religious man, it had so great a stroke upon my spirit, that it made my heart ache. But God did not utterly leave me, but followed me still, not now with convictions, but judgments, yet such as were mixed with mercy. For once I fell into a creek of the sea, and hardly escaped drowning. Another time I fell out of a boat into Bedford River, but mercy yet preserved me alive. Besides, another time, being in a field, with one of my companions, it chanced that an adder passed over the highway, so I having a stick in my hand, struck her over the back. And having stunned her, I forced open her mouth with my stick, and plucked her sting out with my fingers. By which act, had not God been merciful unto me, I might by my desperateness, have brought myself to my end. This also I have taken notice of, with thanksgiving, when I was a soldier, I with others, were drawn out to go to such a place to besiege it. But when I was just ready to go, one of the company desired to go in my room, to which, when I had consented, he took my place. And coming to the siege, as he stood sentinel, he was shot in the head with a musket bullet and died. Here, as I said, were judgments and mercy, but neither of them did awaken my soul to righteousness. Wherefore I sinned still, and grew more and more rebellious against God, and careless of my own salvation. Presently after this, I changed my condition into a married state, and my mercy was, to light upon a wife whose father was counted godly. This woman and I, though we came together as poor might be, not having so much household stuff as a dish or a spoon betwixt us both, yet this she had for her part, the plain man's pathway to heaven and the practice of piety, which her father had left her when he died. In these two books I would sometimes read with her, wherein I also found some things that were somewhat pleasing to me. But all this while I met with no conviction. She also would be often telling of me what a godly man her father was, and how he would reprove and correct vice, both in his house, and among his neighbors. What a strict and holy life he lived in his days, both in word and deed. Wherefore these books, with this relation, though they did not reach my heart, to awaken it about my sad and sinful state, yet they did beget within me some desires to religion, so that because I knew no better, I fell in very eagerly with the religion of the times. To wit, to go to church twice a day, and that too with the foremost. And there should very devoutly, both say and sing, as others did, yet retaining my wicked life. But withal, I was so overrun with the spirit of superstition, that I adored, and that with great devotion, even all things. Both the high place, priest, clerk, vestment, service, and what else belonging to the church, counting all things holy that were therein contained, and especially, the priest and clerk most happy, and without doubt, greatly blessed, because they were the servants, as I then thought, of God, and were principal in the holy temple, to do his work therein. This conceit grew so strong in a little time upon my spirit, that had I but seen a priest, though never so sordid and debauched in his life, I should find my spirit fall unto him, reverence him, and knit unto him. Yea, I thought, for the love I did bear unto them. Supposing them the ministers of God, I could have laid down at their feet, and have been trampled upon by them. Their name, their garb, and work did so intoxicate and bewitch me. After I had been thus for some considerable time, another thought came in my mind. And that was, whether we were of the Israelites or no. For finding in the scripture that they were once the peculiar people of God, thought I, if I were one of this race, My soul must needs be happy. Now again, I found within me a great longing to be resolved about this question, but could not tell how I should. At last I asked my father of it, who told me, no, we were not. Wherefore then I fell in my spirit, as to the hopes of that, and so remained. But all this while, I was not sensible of the danger and evil of sin. I was kept from considering that sin would damn me, what religion soever I followed, unless I was found in Christ. Nay, I never thought of him, or whether there was such a one, or no. Thus man, while blind, doth wander, but wearieth himself with vanity, for he knoweth not the way to the city of God. But one day, amongst all the sermons our parson made, his subject was, to treat of the Sabbath day, and of the evil of breaking that, either with labor, sports or otherwise. Now, I was, notwithstanding my religion, one that took much delight in all manner of vice, and especially that was the day that I did solace myself therewith, wherefore I fell in my conscience under his sermon, thinking and believing that he made that sermon on purpose to show me my evil doing. And at that time I felt what guilt was, though never before, that I can remember. But then I was, for the present, greatly loaden therewith, and so went home when the sermon was ended, with a great burthen upon my spirit. This, for that instant did benumb the sinews of my best delights, and did embitter my former pleasures to me. But hold, it lasted not, for before I had well dined, the trouble began to go off my mind, and my heart returned to its old course. But oh, how glad was I, that this trouble was gone from me, and that the fire was put out, that I might sing again without control. Wherefore, when I had satisfied nature with my food, I shook the sermon out of my mind, and to my old custom of sports and gaming, I returned with great delight. But the same day, as I was in the midst of a game of cat, and having struck it one blow from the hole, just as I was about to strike it the second time, a voice did suddenly dart from heaven into my soul, which said, Wilt thou leave thy sins and go to heaven, or have thy sins and go to hell? At this I was put to an exceeding maze. Wherefore leaving my cat upon the ground, I looked up to heaven, and was, as if I had, with the eyes of my understanding, seen the Lord Jesus looking down upon me, as being very hotly displeased with me, and as if he did severely threaten me with some grievous punishment for these and other ungodly practices. I had no sooner thus conceived in my mind, but, suddenly, this conclusion was fastened on my spirit. For the former hint did set my sins again before my face, that I had been a great and grievous sinner, and that it was now too late for me to look after heaven, for Christ would not forgive me, nor pardon my transgressions. Then I fell to musing on this also, and while I was thinking of it, and fearing lest it should be so, I felt my heart sink in despair, concluding it was too late. And therefore I resolved in my mind I would go on in sin, for, thought I, if the case be thus, my state is surely miserable. Miserable if I leave my sins, and but miserable if I follow them. I can but be damned, and if I must be so, I had as good be damned for many sins, as be damned for few. Thus I stood in the midst of my play, before all that then were present, but yet I told them nothing, but I say, having made this conclusion, I returned desperately to my sport again. And I well remember, that presently this kind of despair did so possess my soul, that I was persuaded I could never attain to other comfort than what I should get in sin. For heaven was gone already, so that on that I must not think. Wherefore I found within me great desire to take my fill of sin, still studying what sin was yet to be committed, that I might taste the sweetness of it. And I made as much haste as I could to fill my belly with its delicates, lest I should die before I had my desire, for that I feared greatly. In these things, I protest before God, I lie not, neither do I feign this form of speech. These were really, strongly, and with all my heart, my desires, the good Lord, whose mercy is unsearchable, forgive me my transgressions. And I am very confident, that this temptation of the devil is more usual among poor creatures, than many are aware of, even to overrun the spirits with a scurvy and seared frame of heart, and benumbing of conscience, which frame he stilly and slily supplieth with such despair, that, though not much guilt attendeth souls, yet they continually have a secret conclusion within them, that there is no hope for them. For they have loved sins, therefore after them they will go. Now therefore I went on in sin with great greediness of mind, still grudging that I could not be so satisfied with it, as I would. This did continue with me about a month, or more. But one day, as I was standing at a neighbor's shop window, and there cursing and swearing, and playing the madman, after my wonted man, there sate within, the woman of the house, and heard me, who, though she also was a very loose and ungodly wretch, yet protested that I swore and cursed at that most fearful rate, that she was made to tremble to hear me, and told me further, that I was the ungodliest fellow for swearing, that she ever heard in all her life, and that I, by thus doing, was able to spoil all the youth in the whole town, if they come but in my company. At this reproof I was silenced, and put to secret shame, and that too, as I thought, before the God of heaven. Wherefore, while I stood there, and hanging down my head, I wished with all my heart that I might be a little child again, that my father might learn me to speak without this wicked way of swearing. For, thought I am so accustomed to it, that it is in vain for me to think of a reformation. For I thought it could never be. But how it came to pass, I know not. I did from this time forward, so leave my swearing, that it was a great wonder to myself to observe it. And whereas before I knew not how to speak unless I put an oath before, and another behind, to make my words have authority. Now I could, without it, speak better, and with more pleasantness than ever I could before. All this while I knew not Jesus Christ, neither did I leave my sports and plays. But quickly after this, I fell into company with one poor man that made profession of religion, who, as I then thought, did talk pleasantly of the scriptures, and of the matters of religion. Wherefore falling into some love and liking to what he said, I betook me to my Bible, and began to take great pleasure in reading, but especially with the historical part thereof. For as for Paul's epistles, and such like scriptures, I could not away with them, being as yet ignorant, either of the corruptions of my nature, or of the wanton worth of Jesus Christ to save me. Wherefore I fell to some outward reformation both in my words and life, and did set the commandments before me for my way to heaven, which commandments I also did strive to keep, and, as I thought, did keep them pretty well sometimes, and then I should have comfort. Yet now and then should break one, and so afflict my conscience. But then I should repent, and say, I was sorry for it, and promise God to do better next time, and there get help again. For then I thought I pleased God as well as any man in England. Thus I continued about a year, all which time our neighbours did take me to be a very godly man, a new and religious man, and did marvel much to see such a great and famous alteration in my life and manners. And indeed so it was, though yet I knew not Christ, nor grace, nor faith, nor hope. For, as I have well seen since, had I then died, my state had been most fearful. But, I say, my neighbours were amazed at this my great conversion, from prodigious profaneness, to something like a moral life. And truly, so they well might. For this my conversion was as great, as for Tom of Bethlehem to become a sober man. Now therefore they began to praise, to commend, and to speak well of me, both to my face, and behind my back. Now I was, as they said, become godly. Now I was become a right honest man. But oh! When I understood these were their words and opinions of me, it pleased me mighty well. For, though as yet I was nothing but a poor painted hypocrite, yet, I loved to be talked of as one that was truly godly. I was proud of my godliness, and indeed, I did all I did, either to be seen of, or to be well spoken of, by men, and thus I continued for about a 12-month, or more. Now you must know, that, before this, I had taken much delight in ringing, but my conscience beginning to be tender, I thought such practice was but vain, and therefore forced myself to leave it. Yet my mind hankered. Wherefore I would go to the steeple house, and look on, though I durst not ring, but I thought this did not become religion neither. Yet I forced myself, and would look on still, but quickly after, I began to think, how if one of the bells should fall. Then I chose to stand under a main beam, that lay overthwart the steeple, from side to side, thinking here I might stand sure. But then I should think again, should the bell fall with a swing, it might first hit the wall, and then, rebounding upon me, might kill me for all this beam. This made me stand in the steeple door. And now, thought I am safe enough. For if the bell should now fall, I can slip out behind these thick walls, and so be preserved notwithstanding. So after this I would yet go to see them ring, but would not go any farther than the steeple door. But then it came into my head, how if the steeple itself should fall? And this thought, it may for aught I know, when I stood and looked on, did continually so shake my mind, that I durst not stand at the steeple door any longer, but was forced to flee, for fear the steeple should fall upon my head. Another thing was, my dancing. I was a full year before I could quite leave that. But all this while, when I thought I kept this or that commandment, or did, by word or deed, anything that I thought was good, I had great peace in my conscience, and should think with myself, God cannot choose but be now pleased with me. Yea, to relate it in mine own way, I thought no man in England could please God better than I, but poor wretch as I was all this while ignorant of Jesus Christ, and going about to establish my own righteousness, and had perished therein, had not God in mercy showed me more of my state by nature. But upon a day, the good providence of God called me to Bedford, to work on my calling. And in one of the streets of the town, I came where there were three or four poor women sitting at a door, in the sun, talking about the things of God. And being now willing to hear them discourse, I drew near to hear what they said, for I was now a brisk talker also myself, in the matters of religion. But I may say, I heard but understood not, for they were far above, out of my reach. Their talk was about a new birth, the work of God on their hearts, also how they were convinced of their miserable state by nature. They talked how God had visited their souls with His love in the Lord Jesus, and with what words and promises they had been refreshed, comforted, and supported, against the temptations of the devil. Moreover, they reasoned of the suggestions and temptations of Satan in particular, and told to each other, by which they had been afflicted and how they were borne up under his assaults. They also discoursed of their own wretchedness of heart, and of their unbelief, and did contemn, slight and abhor their own righteousness, as filthy, and insufficient to do them any good. And, methought, they spake as if joy did make them speak. They spake with such pleasantness of scripture language, and with such appearance of grace in all they said, that they were to me, as if they had found a new world, as if they were people that dwelt alone, and were not to be reckoned among their neighbours. Numbers. XXIII. 9. At this I felt my own heart began to shake, and mistrust my condition to be naught. For I saw that in all my thoughts about religion and salvation, the new birth did never enter into my mind. Neither knew I the comfort of the word and promise, nor the deceitfulness and treachery of my own wicked heart. As for secret thoughts, I took no notice of them. Neither did I understand what Satan's temptations were, nor how they were to be withstood, and resisted, etc. Thus, therefore, when I had heard and considered what they said, I left them, and went about my employment again, but their talk and discourse went with me. Also my heart would tarry with them, for I was greatly affected with their words, both because by them I was convinced that I wanted the true tokens of a truly godly man, and also because by them I was convinced of the happy and blessed condition of him that was such a one. Therefore I should often make it my business to be going again and again into the company of these poor people, for I could not stay away. And the more I went amongst them, the more I did question my condition, And as I still do remember, presently I found two things within me, at which I did sometimes marvel. Especially considering what a blind, ignorant, sordid and ungodly wretch but just before I was. The one was a very great softness and tenderness of heart, which caused me to fall under the conviction of what by scripture they asserted, and the other was a great bending in my mind, to a continual meditating on it, and on all other good things, which at any time I heard or read of. By these things my mind was now so turned, that it lay like an horse leech at the vein, still crying out, "Give, give." Yea, it was so fixed on eternity, and on the things about the kingdom of heaven. That is, so far as I knew, though as yet, God knows, I knew but little, that neither pleasures, nor profits, nor persuasions, nor threats, could loose it, or make it let go its hold. And though I may speak it with shame, yet it is in very deed, a certain truth, it would then have been as difficult for me to have taken my mind from heaven to earth, as I have found it often since, to get again from earth to heaven. One thing I may not omit, there was a young man in our town, to whom my heart before was knit, more than to any other, but he being a most wicked creature for cursing, and swearing, and worrying, I now shook him off, and forsook his company. But about a quarter of a year after I had left him, I met him in a certain lane, and asked him how he did. He, after his old swearing and madam way, answered, he was well. "But, Harry," said I, "why do you curse and swear thus? What will become of you, if you die in this condition?" He answered me in a great chafe, "What would the devil do for company, if it were not for such as I am?" About this time I met with some ranters' books, that were put forth by some of our countrymen, which books were also highly in esteem by several old professors. Some of these I read, but was not able to make any judgment about them. Wherefore as I read in them, and thought upon them, seeing myself unable to judge, I would betake myself to hearty prayer in this manner. O Lord, I am a fool, and not able to know the truth from error. Lord, leave me not to my own blindness, either to approve of or condemn this doctrine. If it be of God, let me not despise it. If it be of the devil, let me not embrace it. Lord, I lay my soul in this matter only at thy foot, let me not be deceived, I humbly beseech thee. I had one religious intimate companion all this while, and that was the poor man I spoke of before. But about this time, he also turned a most devilish ranter, and gave himself up to all manner of filthiness, especially uncleanness. He would also deny that there was a God, angel, or spirit, and would laugh at all exhortations to sobriety. When I labored to rebuke his wickedness he would laugh the more, and pretend that he had gone through all religions, and could never light on the right till now. He told me also, that in a little time I should see all professors turn to the ways of the ranters. Wherefore, abominating those cursed principles, I left his company forthwith, and became to him as great a stranger, as I had been before a familiar. Neither was this man only a temptation to me, but my calling lying in the country, I happened to light into several people's company, who though strict in religion formerly, yet were also swept away by these ranters. These would also talk with me of their ways, and condemn me as legal and dark, pretending that they only had attained to perfection, that could do what they would and not sin. Oh! These temptations were suitable to my flesh, I being but a young man and my nature in its prime. But God, who had, as I hoped, designed me for better things, kept me in the fear of his name, and did not suffer me to accept such cursed principles. And blessed be God, who put it into my heart to cry to him to be kept and directed, still distrusting my own wisdom. For I have since seen even the effects of the prayer, in his preserving me, not only from ranting errors, but from those also that have sprung up since. The Bible was precious to me in those days. And now methought, I began to look into the Bible with new eyes, and read as I never did before, and especially the epistles of the Apostle Saint Paul were sweet and pleasant to me. And indeed I was then never out of the Bible, either by reading or meditation. still crying out to God, that I might know the truth, and way to heaven and glory. And as I went on and read, I lighted upon that passage: to one is given, by the Spirit, the word of wisdom; to another the word knowledge by the same Spirit; and to another faith, etc. And know, as I have since seen, that by this scripture the Holy Ghost intends, in special, things extraordinary, yet on me it did then fasten with conviction, that I did want things ordinary, even that understanding and wisdom that other Christians had. On this word I mused, and could not tell what to do. Especially this word, faith, put me to it, for I could not help it, but sometimes must question, whether I had any faith, or no. But I was loath to conclude, I had no faith. For if I do so, thought I, then I shall count myself a very castaway indeed. No, said I, with myself, though I am convinced that I am an ignorant sot, and that I want those blessed gifts of knowledge and understanding that other people have, yet at a venture I will conclude, I am not altogether faithless, though I know not what faith is. For it was shown me, and that too, as I have seen since, by Satan, that those who conclude themselves in a faithless state, have neither rest nor quiet in their souls. And I was loath to fall quite into despair. Wherefore by this suggestion I was, for a while, made afraid to see my want of faith. But God would not suffer me thus to undo and destroy my soul, but did continually, against this my sad and blind conclusion, create still within me such suppositions, insomuch that I could not rest content, until I did now come to some certain knowledge, whether I had faith or no, this always running in my mind, but how if you want faith indeed? But how can you tell you have faith? And besides, I saw for certain, if I had not, I was sure to perish forever. So that though I endeavoured at the first to look over the business of faith, yet in a little time, I better considering the matter, was willing to put myself upon the trial whether I had faith or no. But alas, poor wretch! So ignorant and brutish was I, that I knew not to this day no more how to do it, than I know how to begin and accomplish that rare and curious piece of art, which I never yet saw or considered. Wherefore while I was thus considering, and being put to my plunge about it. For you must know, that as yet I had in this matter broken my mind to no man, only did hear and consider, the tempter came in with this delusion, that there was no way for me to know I had faith, but by trying to work some miracle, urging those scriptures that seemed to look that way, for the enforcing and strengthening his temptation. Nay, one day, as I was between Elstow and Bedford, the temptation was hot upon me, to try if I had faith, by doing some miracle. Which miracle at this time was this: I must say to the puddles that were in the horsey pads, be dry. And to the dry places, be you puddles, and truly one time I was going to say so indeed. But just as I was about to speak, this thought came into my mind: but go under yonder hedge and pray first, that God would make you able. But when I had concluded to pray, this came hot upon me: that if I prayed, and came again and tried to do it, and yet did nothing notwithstanding, then to be sure I had no faith, but was a castaway, and lost. Nay, thought I, if it be so, I will not try yet, but will stay a little longer. So I continued at a great loss. For I thought, if they only had faith, which could do so wonderful things, then I concluded, that for the present I neither had it, nor yet for the time to come, were ever like to have it. Thus I was tossed betwixt the devil and my own ignorance, and so perplexed, especially at some times, that I could not tell what to do. About this time, the state and happiness of these poor people at Bedford was thus, in a kind of a vision, presented to me. I saw as if they were on the sunny side of some high mountain, there refreshing themselves with the pleasant beams of the sun, while I was shivering and shrinking in the cold, afflicted with frost, snow and dark clouds. Methought also, betwixt me and them, I saw a wall that did compass about this mountain. Now through this wall my soul did greatly desire to pass, concluding, that if I could, I would even go into the very midst of them, and there also comfort myself with the heat of their sun. About this wall I bethought myself, to go again and again, still prying as I went, to see if I could find some way or passage, by which I might enter therein, but none could I find for some time. At the last, I saw, as it were, a narrow gap, like a little doorway in the wall, through which I attempted to pass. Now the passage being very straight and narrow, I made many offers to get in, but all in vain, even until I was well nigh quite beat out, by striving to get in. At last, with great striving, methought I at first did get in my head, and after that, by a siddling striving, my shoulders, and my whole body. Then I was exceeding glad, went and sat down in the midst of them, and so was comforted with the light and heat of their sun. Now this mountain, and wall, etc., was thus made out to me. The mountain signified the church of the living God, the sun that shone thereon, the comfortable shining of his merciful face on them that were therein. The wall I thought was the word, that did make separation between the Christians and the world. And the gap which was in the wall, I thought, was Jesus Christ, who is the way to God the Father. But forasmuch as the passage was wonderful narrow, even so narrow that I could not, but with great difficulty, enter in thereat, it showed me, that none could enter into life, but those that were in downright earnest, and unless also they left that wicked world behind them. For here was only room for body and soul, but not for body and soul and sin. This resemblance abode upon my spirit many days, all which time I saw myself in a forlorn and sad condition, but yet was provoked to a vehement hunger and desire to be one of that number that did sit in the sunshine. Now also I should pray wherever I was, whether at home or abroad, in house or field, and would also often, with lifting up of heart, sing that of the 51st Psalm, O Lord, consider my distress, for as yet I knew not where I was. Neither as yet could I attain to any comfortable persuasion that I had faith in Christ. But instead of having satisfaction here, I began to find my soul to be assaulted with fresh doubts about my future happiness, especially with such as these, whether I was elected. But how, if the day of grace should now be past and gone? By these two temptations I was very much afflicted and disquieted, sometimes by one, and sometimes by the other of them. And first, to speak of that about my questioning my election, I found at this time, that though I was in a flame to find the way to heaven and glory, and though nothing could beat me off from this, yet this question did so offend and discourage me, that I was, especially sometimes, as if the very strength of my body also had been taken away by the force and power thereof. This scripture did also seem to me to trample upon all my desires. It is not of him that wileth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. With this scripture I could not tell what to do, for I evidently saw, unless that the great God, of his infinite grace and bounty, had voluntarily chosen me to be a vessel of mercy, though I should desire, and long, and labor until my heart did break, no good could come of it. Therefore this would stick with me: how can you tell that you are elected? And what if you should not? How then? O Lord, thought I, what if I should not indeed? It may be you are not, said the tempter. It may be so indeed, thought I. Why then, said Satan, you had as good leave off, and strive no farther. For if indeed, you should not be elected and chosen of God, there is no talk of your being saved. For it is not of him that wileth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. By these things I was driven to my wit's end, not knowing what to say, or how to answer these temptations. Indeed, I little thought that Satan had thus assaulted me, but that rather it was my own prudence thus to start the question, for that the elect only attained eternal life. That, I without scruple did heartily close withal, but that myself was one of them, there lay the question. Thus therefore, for several days, I was greatly assaulted and perplexed, and was often, when I have been walking, ready to sink where I went, with faintness in my mind. But one day, after I had been so many weeks oppressed and cast down therewith as I was now quite giving up the ghost of all my hopes of ever attaining life, That sentence fell with weight upon my spirit. Look at the generations of old, and see, did ever any trust in God, and were confounded? At which I was greatly lightened, and encouraged in my soul. For thus, at that very instant, it was expounded to me, begin at the beginning of Genesis, and read to the end of the Revelations, and see if you can find, that there were ever any that trusted in the Lord, and were confounded. So coming home, I presently went to my Bible, to see if I could find that saying, not doubting but to find it presently. For it was so fresh, and with such strength and comfort on my spirit, that it was as if it talked with me. Well, I looked, but I found it not. Only it abode upon me. Then did I ask first this good man, and then another, if they knew where it was, but they knew no such place. At this I wondered, that such a sentence should so suddenly, and with such comfort and strength, seize, and abide upon my heart. And yet that none could find it. For I doubted not but that it was in Holy Scripture. Thus I continued above a year, and could not find the place. But at last, casting my eye upon the Apocrypha books, I found it in Ecclesiasticus 2:10. This, at the first, did somewhat daunt me. But because by this time I had got more experience of the love and kindness of God, it troubled me the less, especially when I considered that though it was not in those texts that we call holy and canonical, yet forasmuch as this sentence was the sum and substance of many of the promises, it was my duty to take the comfort of it. And I bless God for that word, for it was of God to me. That word doth still at times shine before my face. After this, that other doubt did come with strength upon me, but how if the day of grace should be past and gone? How if you have overstood the time of mercy? Now I remember that one day, as I was walking in the country, I was much in the thoughts of this, but how if the day of grace is past? And to aggravate my trouble, the tempter presented to my mind those good people of Bedford, and suggested thus unto me, that these being converted already, they were all that God would save in those parts, and that I came too late, for these had got the blessing before I came. Now I was in great distress, thinking in very deed that this might well be so. Wherefore I went up and down, bemoaning my sad condition, counting myself far worse than 1,000 fools for standing off thus long, and spending so many years in sin as I had done, still crying out, oh, that I had turned sooner, oh, that I had turned 7 years ago. It made me also angry with myself, to think that I should have no more wit, but to trifle away my time, till my soul and heaven were lost. But when I had been long vexed with this fear, and was scarce able to take one step more, just about the same place where I received my other encouragement, these words broke in upon my mind, compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. And yet there is room. These words, but especially those, and yet there is room, were sweet words to me. For truly I thought that by them I saw there was place enough in heaven for me. And moreover, that when the Lord Jesus did speak these words, he then did think of me. And that he knowing that the time would come, that I should be afflicted with fear, that there was no place left for me in his bosom, did before speak this word, and leave it upon record, that I might find help thereby against this vile temptation. This I then verily believed. In the light and encouragement of this word I went a pretty while, and the comfort was the more, when I thought that the Lord Jesus should think on me so long ago, and that he should speak those words on purpose for my sake. For I did think verily, that he did on purpose speak them to encourage me withal. But I was not without my temptations to go back again. Temptations, I say, both from Satan, mine own heart, and carnal acquaintance. But I thank God these were outweighed by that sound sense of death, and of the day of judgment, which abode, as it were, continually in my view. I would often also think on Nebuchadnezzar, of whom it is said, he had given him all the kingdoms of the earth. Yet, thought I, if this great man had all his portion in this world, 1 hour in hell fire would make him forget all. Which consideration was a great help to me. I was also made, about this time, to see something concerning the beasts that Moses counted clean and unclean. I thought those beasts were types of men. The clean, types of them that were the people of God. But the unclean, types of such as were the children of the wicked one. Now I read, that the clean beasts chewed the cud. That is, thought I, they show us, we must feed upon the word of God. They also parted the hoof. I thought that signified, we must part, if we would be saved, with the ways of ungodly men. And also, in further reading about them, I found, that though we did chew the cud, as the hare, yet if we walked with claws, like a dog, or if we did part the hoof, like the swine, yet if we did not chew the cud, as the sheep, we were still, for all that, but unclean. For I thought the hare to be a type of those that talk of the word, yet walk in the ways of sin, and that the swine was like him that parted with his outward pollutions, but still wanteth the word of faith, without which there could be no way of salvation, let a man be never so devout. After this, I found by reading the word, that those that must be glorified with Christ in another world must be called by him here, called to the partaking of a share in his word and righteousness, and to the comforts and first fruits of his spirit, and to a peculiar interest in all those heavenly things, which do indeed prepare the soul for the trust, and house of glory, which is in heaven above. Here again I was at a very high great stand, not knowing what to do, fearing I was not called. For, thought I, if I be not called, what then can do me good? None but those who are ineffectually called inherit the kingdom of heaven. But oh, how I now loved those words that spake of a Christian's calling. As when the Lord said to one, follow me, and to another, come after me, and oh, thought I, that he would say so to me too, how gladly would I run after him. I cannot now express with what longings and breathings in my soul, I cried to Christ to call me. Thus I continued for a time, all on a flame to be converted to Jesus Christ, and did also see at that day, such glory in a converted state, that I could not be contented without a share therein. Gold. Could it have been gotten for gold, what would I have given for it? Had I had a whole world, it had all gone 10,000 times over for this, that my soul might have been in a converted state. How lovely now was every one in my eyes, that I thought to be converted men and women. They shone, they walked like a people that carried the broad seal of heaven about them. Oh! I saw the lot was fallen to them in pleasant places, and they had a goodly heritage. But that which made me sick, was that of Christ, in St. Mark, he goeth up into a mountain, and calleth unto him whom he would, and they came unto him. This scripture made me faint and fear, yet it kindled fire in my soul. That which made me fear, was this, lest Christ should have no liking to me, for he called whom he would. But oh, the glory that I saw in that condition, did still so engage my heart, that I could seldom read of any that Christ did call, but I presently wished, would I had been in their clothes, would I had been born Peter, would I had been born John, or, would I have been by and had heard him when he called them, how would I have cried, O Lord, call me also. But, oh, I feared he would not call me.